Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you know your Bible well, you'll know it's that great chapter about the heroes of the faith. The writer looks back down the corridors of time and he names the great men and women of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He couldn't be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And so it continues, this by faith and by faith. We'll come back to it in a few moments and we'll read what it says at the latter end of the chapter. But before that, we're going to stand if we're able and we're going to sing a lovely hymn, What Gift of Grace. So verse 32, let's pick it up from there. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained, put in prison, they were stoned, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. What a phenomenal chapter of Scripture. The world was not worthy of them. These folks who held firm in the face of difficulty and hardship. And we think this morning of our brothers and sisters in different parts of our world who are suffering and staying faithful. Pray for them often. there is mentioned in Hebrews 11, the world was and is not worthy of such faith. There's a funny old verse in Isaiah, I think it's 29. I haven't put my thing. Oh, I will come to that. Blessed are those whose faith, who die, whose faith is in the Lord. And we think of those in the context of this 11th chapter of Hebrews. So children, I'm going to speak to the adults. And while I'm speaking, Sandra has provided something, the amazing Sandra, can I say? You've heard of Amazing Grace? She's delightful. But this is Amazing Sandra. Amazing Sandra has provided some packs here. So if you want to, if you're visiting this morning, there's a pack there for you. So if it's got an O on it, that pack's for older children. And if it's got a Y on it, that's packed for younger children. But if you are regularly attending here, your pack has even got your name on it. So do you want to come forward now and get a pack? See if you can find your name. And if you think your name isn't there because you're visiting, just take a one, okay? I'm hoping there's going to be one spare at the end because there's a lollipop in them. I want the lolly. Good golly, I got a lolly. Go. So while I'm chatting, guys, you can look through your pack and you can do a bit of work and have some fun because Sandra has prepared something which is really fun. Okay? Good, 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 good. Oh, that's nice, getting a hug on the stage. Great. Well, really enjoy your pack. So, can I say what an amazing year Lyndhurst Baptist Church is having celebrating your 325th anniversary. 325 years. It's amazing, isn't it? And you've done quite a few things already. The historic walk through in the church and in the grounds, Carrie and I came. We thought it was great. It was brilliant. The Skittles evening. Anybody here who won? Anybody who won? Did you win? Oh, well done, your family. Send them my best wishes and tell them well done from me. Okay, for winning the Skittles evening. I bet you got the plaque on the mantelpiece, haven't you? Ah, no. I could tell it would be on the mantelpiece. No question. The past members' reunion, who was here for that? Yeah? I hear the church was by and large full. The penny fair last week, that went really well. What a great witness to your community, that penny fair. And it goes right the way back, you know, to the roots of the church, when the church gave financially to care for the poor, the needy. The Sunday school for the children that had hundreds of children who would be a part of this Sunday school. The library that folks from the community could come and borrow books so they could read books because they couldn't afford books. And you made that available for them. 1700. Can you believe it? All the way back to 1700. 325 years ago this church was founded. Wow, wow, wow. Does anyone remember being at that opening service? Peter, I reckon you were there, mate. I bet you can tell a tale or two about that. Ebenezer Baptist Chapel. That's what you were called way back then. Ebenezer Baptist Chapel. Ebenezer in the Old Testament, it means a stone of hope or a stone of help. And Samuel, in 1 Samuel 7, Samuel erects a stone to celebrate God giving Israel the victory over the Philistines. And it was a symbol, a stone of hope, Ebenezer, a stone of hope. And since 1700, 325 years, Lyndhurst Baptist Church has been a stone of hope. And as a consequence, a place of hope and a place of help. And you've been involved in that. And you are doing that today. Literally thousands of people, young and old, during the past 325 years, have found this community to be a place of hope. Three different church buildings built over the years on this site. And I can hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, where he says to his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. You think Jesus was thinking of Lyndhurst Baptist Church, eh? When he said that. Well, I think it kind of was, you know. Because you are the church. You are part of this church that he promised to build. I will build my church. And he knew part of it would be in Lyndhurst. And you'd be celebrating 325 years. So in thinking about this morning and your anniversary year, I was drawn to Hebrews 11 and then the opening verses, the first three of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who suffered such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know this book of Hebrews, it was written to a church that was made up predominantly of Jewish Christians. When you read through the book, the writer knows that his readers will have an understanding of the Old Testament, the Jewish Torah. He knows they'll have an understanding about Abraham and the prophets. He knows that they'll have an understanding of what happened when they were captives in Egypt and then they were liberated and brought into the promised land. That's why we surmise that this book was written to predominantly a Jewish congregation, because so much of it speaks to a Jewish culture. We think it was written to a church, a Jewish community in Rome, who were being persecuted, and who were thinking, if this is what it is to follow Jesus, I'd rather go back to my Jewish roots. You felt like that sometimes as a Christian? It seemed much easier before Jesus was in my life. I never felt guilty about stuff. And then I become a Christian and suddenly I've got a conscience and I feel guilty. It never bothered me just lying my head off to folks around me at work or in the community. And then I became a Christian and suddenly I had a conscience. I'm tempted to go back to the old way. And the letter to the Hebrews is all about saying to these people, whatever you do, don't. Whatever you do, don't. Don't go back, because what you are going back to is of little value and worth to you in the light of Jesus. Begins, Hebrews chapter 1, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. This Jesus supersedes everything, so don't throw the towel in. Look at these heroes of the faith in chapter 11. Hang on as they hung on. Don't look back. Look forward. And he gives them a threefold challenge. He must have been a Baptist, the writer to the Hebrews, because he's got 3 points. And every good Baptist preacher has 3 points. So I want to leave you 3 thoughts this morning as we think about your anniversary in 325 years, starting off in 1700. And the first challenge that he gives them is to be inspired. What inspires you? Who inspires you? The writer to the Hebrews says, be inspired. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I used to tell my folks at Ryslip all the time, when you come across a therefore, always check to see what it's there for. When you come across a therefore, always check to see what it is there for. Therefore is a conjunctive adverb, which sounds very painful. Something you'd go to the doctors with. Oh, doctor, I've got a conjunctive adverb. It's a joining word. It connects what's been to what's coming. Be inspired, the writer to the Hebrews says, by those who've gone before you. Let their life of faith, their witness, motivate and inspire you, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. They're not there cheering us on. They're there setting for us an example. Been there, done that. Great cloud of witnesses, the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, ought to inspire, motivate, infuse each one of us in this anniversary year. We look back. The great scientist, philosopher, theologian, Sir Isaac Newton, once said in a letter that he wrote to John Hooke. John Hooke was vehemently opposed to Isaac Newton because Newton was making these discoveries and he was top of the pops. And Hooke, who is also a scientist, kind of lived in his shadow. And he would often do Isaac Newton down. And responding to Hooke in a letter, Isaac Newton wrote this: if I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. If I have seen further, it's not because of me, he says, it's because I have stood on the shoulders of giants, those who came before me. And this church has stood on the shoulders of giants. And you remember some of them. Some of them who've gone to glory. Some who led this church, led the groups in this community, inspired you, taught you in Sunday school. If I have seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. And Hebrews 11 is all about those giants who went before. Grace Carpenter. Eh? Who was Grace Carpenter? Eh? Grace Carpenter was the daughter of the farmer who owned this land, and when her dad died, inherited the land, and instead of keeping it for herself, she gave it away free so a church could be planted in this place. She's a hero. She's a hero of the faith. Those who build three different sanctuaries in this place. The Canadian soldiers who during the Second World War, 24 of them, who were baptized in this place before they went to the D-Day landings. Heroes. Be inspired. The second thing he says is be prepared. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we're to be inspired by those who've gone before, but we're to be prepared for the part we have to play right here and right now. It's a challenge. You know, I retired 2 years ago, but there is no retirement within the kingdom of God. There's refirement, refiring yourself up, but there's no retirement this side of heaven. I wonder what things hinder us in our Christian faith, in our Christian journey. And notice, will you, it's not sin. Listen to what he says. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. So what are the things that hinder our progress? It might be being overly committed to work. It might be being overly committed to a sport, which you just take above and beyond, and your Christian life suffers for that. What is in our lives that hinder, slow us down? And then he says, which is a lovely graphical picture, and the sin that so easily entangles. That lovely visual, getting caught up in the sin. And the pictures of the athlete. You know, way back in ancient Athens, the runners would run naked. They take everything off because they wanted to be totally free and liberated, not hindered by anything, because they wanted to win. The sin that so easily entangles. Stripped and ready for run. The writer tells his readers there to get rid of the rubbish, the stuff that gets in the way. On Friday, just past, I was really cheesed off. Now hear my little bemoan, will you? Give me some pastoral sympathy today. Heal my hurts, please. On Friday, I was really cheesed off. I got up early in the morning, I put the bins out. Now, I don't know about you, but we got new bins in Lymington. They've given us jolly bins, yeah? I don't know what they've been playing at, but they've given us new bins. So I put the bin out. It was 1 week it's recycling, put that out. The other, next week it's general waste. So this week it's general waste. So I put the bin out, put the food waste out, and we're back in the house. A couple of hours later, went back out, And lo and behold, the blighters, the bin men. Forgive me if you are a bin man person here this morning, or a member of your family might perhaps be a one. I'm sure they're not responsible, but they had not, capital N, capital O, capital T, they had not taken my bin. And I was not a happy bunny, okay? So I went upstairs, I ran the bath, I got in the bath, and I'm still cross about them. Why haven't they taken my bin? Should I ring the council up? Why haven't they taken my bin? And I'm lying there in the bath, broken I was. Broken. You've never seen a man in pieces. Broken. And there I hear it. It's the bin lorry. He's just coming down the road. And I'm thinking, oh, blow me. I've taken the bin in before he had a chance to take it. I'd put it out and then taken it back in. And isn't that like us, eh? We get convicted or we feel a bit challenged on a Sunday morning and we think, I'm going to put that sin out for God the bin man to take it away, and before he comes around the corner, we've taken it back in because we don't want to get rid of the rubbish. We like it. I've got the tit booked for Tuesday. And it's not coming back. You know, what rubbish do we need to get rid of in our lives in order to help us run more effectively? So we are to be prepared, we're to be inspired, and finally, we are to be focused. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Be inspired by those who've gone before. Be prepared by getting rid of the rubbish. Be focused by fixing your eyes upon Jesus. And you know, for 325 years, Lyndhurst Baptist Church has had its eyes well and truly fixed on Jesus during the ups and the downs. Sometimes this sanctuary was packed to the gunnels. The Sunday school was heaving. On one occasion, this church got down to two members. Two members. Don't you just close the door and shut up shop? Not if you got your eyes fixed on Jesus and he tells you to stay open. You keep going. And because of that, you're here today. Because those two kept going because they had their eyes fixed on Jesus. I love that phrase, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. What's that all about? Who for the joy set before? What's the joy that's set before him? My friends, it is you and me. We are his joy. Jesus went to the cross to save us from our sins. We make him happy. He died that we might be forgiven, that he might make us good. You are his joy. That's mind-blowing. You know, I know what a wretched person I am, and it amazes me that I know my wife loves me to the core most of the time. And I'm humbled by that, because I know how horrible I can be. and how awkward I can be, and how stubborn I can be, and how miserable I can be. Oh, I know I can be funny, and I can be happy, and I can be off the wall, but I can equally be miserable. And she loves me. How much more does God love us? How much more does God, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross? We are, you are, his joy. I need to finish. Anybody got a sat nav? Aren't sat navs great things? I love my sat nav. I've got a female sat nav and I have a male sat nav, depending on. And, you know, they tell you where to go. You say, I want to go to Lyndhurst, and you put it in, and they give you the fastest route and the best route, and they're just great. But every now and then, when I get it wrong, my sat-nav, she'll say to me, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. And then if I just keep ignoring her, eventually she says, proceed to the root. Proceed to the root. And maybe God is saying to some of us this morning, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Get back to where you were. Paul says to the Galatians, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Paul says to Timothy at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do you long for his appearing? You're running the race. You're keeping the faith. There's a crown of glory waiting for you. Your husband got it this week. Do you know that the night before or a couple of days before, at every London Marathon, there are three lines drawn on the road of London, the route for the runners to follow. Somebody gets up and they paint these lines so that the runners can follow the route. Let us run with perseverance, the writer of the Hebrews says, the race marked out for us. God's got a route for Lyndhurst Baptist Church. It's an A road. It's the A325 plus. Yeah? That's God's road for Lyndhurst Baptist Church. The A325 plus. Because it's all to play for. From this year on, it's just an anniversary. It's just a bump in the road, a sleeping policeman. The future's bright. God's future is in your hands. Let's run the race, keep the faith, and may God continue to bless Lyndhurst and each one of our lives as we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you this morning for the great work and witness of this church over 325 years, the ups and the downs, the joys and the sorrows. But I thank you, Lord, your work isn't finished here. It's the A325 plus, and we're on the plus. Would you continue to lead and bless this fellowship and every individual member? Help us, Lord, to get rid of the rubbish, to fix our eyes on those who faithfully served in the past, and to focus our attention firmly on Jesus, till we are called home, until we see him face to face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. We're going to finish our morning service by singing the lovely hymn, He Will Hold Me Fast. If you're able, let's stand together as we sing. We bring our gifts and offerings to you this morning. Most importantly, we bring ourselves. Continue to work your will and purpose in our lives, and bless us as we go from this place. Now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.